The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, Ladies in Lace.
Bertie, I'm home.
Clarice,
come see what I bought for us.
Oh, I was beginning to get quite frantic.
About me?
Well, of course, you've been gone for almost 2 hours. New York is such a large and frightening city. All that traffic. Why, it's terrifying, Clarice. It's simply terrifying.
Bertie, I'm all right. You mustn't get in such a tizzy about me, dear. You worry too much.
And why shouldn't I worry about my lovely, devoted sister? And didn't Papa always say, Bertie, you look after Clarice. You take care of your little sister. It's a cruel world, and she needs your protection.
Really, Bertie, I am over 21.
Just the same.
And it's been 40 years since dear sweet Papa passed on. Now, see what I bought.
Well, Bertie.
Clarice.
The very best Wilshire bone china.
Oh, I declare, the most delicate teapot I've ever seen. Simply the most delicate. Must have been very expensive.
Oh, you're angry with me?
No, dear, but our funds are running low.
Oh, I just couldn't resist it, Bertie. Besides, I couldn't let the young man think I was mere shabby gentility.
Young man?
The gentleman I met in the chinaware shop, and he was so kind. He dropped me off in a cab.
Oh?
Such a pleasant young man, so considerate and protective. His name is Frank Carson. I invited him for tea tomorrow. I hope you don't mind, Bertie.
Now, that all depends.
He's in Wall Street.
Really?
His father's the head of a brokerage house.
Well, in that case, he's surely welcome.
Bertie, you remember George Walton?
Oh, the nice young man who asked Papa for your hand.
Yes. Mr. Carson reminds me so much of George. The shape of his head, his soft smile. You know, Bertie, it's the only thing I ever regretted Papa doing. Taking all George's money.
But, Clarice, we had to survive more than just like common folks. We were the Jessops of New Orleans. Papa had standards to maintain.
I suppose, but how different things might have been. Bertie.
Yes?
May we wear our Madeira lace collars and cuffs when Mr. Carson joins us for tea tomorrow?
Why, certainly. After all, we must make the best possible impression on Mr. Carson.
Madeira lace always makes me feel so imposing, so regal.
As Papa said, don't you girls ever forget for one instant that you're the Jessops of New Orleans. Hold your heads high and walk like queens. And most of all, maintain your standards. No matter what the cost to other folks.
It takes all kinds to make a criminal world. The Jessop sisters had moved about it in bunco circles for years. With the passage of time, except for two brief pauses spent in prison, Clarice and Bertie Jessop perfected their trade to the point where they operated without variation the same swindle. Step one. A likely victim was selected, always a man of means. Step two, he was instilled with gentlemanly respect for these sweet, harmless ladies who seemed as delicately old world as the lace they wore.
Papa always said clothes definitely do not make the lady, unless they're trimmed with Madeira lace. Well,
from all you've told me, your father must have been a fine and sensitive gentleman.
Papa was a Jessop,
a New Orleans Jessop.
He would have liked you, Mr. Carson. You're just the sort of gentleman Papa relished.
Why, thank you, Miss Bertie.
Yes, indeed. Papa would have really enjoyed taking you into his circle of friends. More tea?
Oh, thank you, Miss Clarice. No, I must be going. I've been here almost 2 hours already.
Oh, I declare, that long? Seems like old times, doesn't it, Clarice? At home when we used to sit with Papa on the veranda and listen to the birds chirping in the bayou.
Yes, Remembrance of things past.
Oh, it must have been lovely and peaceful there.
Papa said a lady should never be prideful, but let me tell you, Mr. Carson, the Jessup estate was the showplace of the country.
And you've never gone back after selling it just to see it?
Oh, we didn't sell it, Mr. Carson.
Oh?
We couldn't do that to Papa's memory. Every inch of that soil was holy to Papa, even the swampland.
So we've just held on to it. No matter what.
Oh, with the cost of living today, it isn't easy, but somehow we manage without selling off the Jessup place.
There aren't any of your breed left in this world. Nowadays, everybody seems to worship the almighty dollar. Everybody's out to take everybody else.
Oh, what a horrible thought.
Ah, but unfortunately true. Well, ladies, thank you for one of the most pleasant and refreshing afternoons of my life.
The pleasure was ours, Mr. Carson.
And do come and have tea with us again.
May I?
Next Saturday, the same time.
Oh, I'll be here. And thank you again.
Thank you for making two old ladies very happy.
Well, Bertie,
you were right. He's every inch a gentleman. But remember what Papa said.
Girls, sentiment is an admirable quality in womanhood, but never, never mix it with business. So, we'll get in touch with Mr. Hopkins immediately.
Yes, you phone him, dear, while I brew some nice fresh tea for us.
The Jessup sisters played their swindle game without variation. When steps one and two had been completed, step three was set in motion. For this phase, an accessory was called in.
My commission will be the same as usual, ladies?
Of course, Mr. Hopkins.
And the transaction with your Mr. Carson, the same?
Naturally, the very same.
As Papa said, times may change, but human nature never does. So girls, never forsake the old for the new.
And Papa knew what he was talking about. Papa's record was perfect. Not one arrest.
Yeah, very well, ladies, very well. Just as long as I get the percentage legitimately due me.
Mr. Hopkins, just what do you mean?
Well, I had an idea that I may have been done out of my proper share in our last venture.
I declare, how dare
you? No, I'm not saying you did shortchange me. And I'm not saying you didn't. It was just a notion I had.
Mr. Hopkins, please have the good grace to remember that Bertie and I are not just common ordinary thieves. We, sir, are Jessups.
In addition to Madeira lace, the Jessup sisters showed a particular favoritism for fine chinaware. It was this second weakness which put the Bureau on their trail. On the morning of June 6th, 1954, Agent Reynolds came into my office with the lead.
Steve, the check was forwarded to the Bureau for a routine analysis.
A bank check dated May 15th, made payable to an Evanston, Illinois, chinaware store, had bounced. The check had been signed by Clarice Jessup.
$184 down the drain. Believe me, gentlemen, I would rather have broken that china with my own hands than lose the money that way.
We know how you feel, Mr. Cronin. Now, you said Jessup had made other purchases previously.
Quite a few.
And always the same brand of china.
My best imported product.
The trade name?
Wilshire. It's made by an English firm. The very best and the most expensive.
Naturally, you were never suspicious.
About her? Don't be ridiculous. She looked every inch a lady, the reliable old-fashioned kind, particularly the way she dressed.
Down to the lace collar.
That's right, but I guess it was as phony as she.
Not the lace collar. Genuine Madeira.
It should choke her.
Getting back to the chinaware, she remarked you said that she'd own only one brand.
That's right, Wilshire.
And previously, she'd always paid cash.
Yes, I suppose that was to build up confidence.
I don't know.
Well, what do you mean you don't know? That's the way these crooks operate, don't they?
The Jessup sisters have always stuck to their one particular trade, and it doesn't include passing bum checks.
Well, it looks like they've started another one, and it had to be my luck that I was their first customer.
No, Mr. Cronin, I'm afraid you were just an emergency victim. They were probably running low on funds.
Well, not a good that does me.
Believe me, it'll do their next victim a great deal less good.
Back to Ladies in Lace in just a moment.
Now, let me tell you about a lunch I had with a couple of reporters the other day. We were talking about the government and what makes it operate when a thought occurred to me. You know, funny thing, I said, they call one department the State Department when it handles all our foreign affairs. Wonder why? Joe Dillon, he writes political news, spoke up and said, Actually, the State Department does more than handle foreign affairs. It also publishes all the laws that have been passed by Congress, and it also issues all the passports and visas for the U.S. Then, as the waitress finished pouring our second cup of coffee, she said, "If you ever get on a quiz program, you can win a trip to the moon by telling them that the State Department has the job of making sure the official seal of the United States doesn't get lost. And also, it acts as a sort of governmental Emily Post." Then she dropped the bill on the table with the words, "Did you ever hear of the Division of Protocol? That's part of the State Department. That's the outfit that makes sure the foreign diplomats get introduced properly and seated in the right places at official dinners." So we each put another dime in her tip and went back to work.
And now, Act Two of tonight's story, Ladies in Lace.
A check of lodging places in Evanston revealed that the Jessup sisters had occupied an apartment in a conservative, middle-class hotel, and that the day after the bum bank draft was passed, they'd moved out bag and baggage, china and old lace. But we had one break.
Destination New York, Steve.
Agent Reynolds had questioned a cab driver whose stand was outside the hotel. He definitely recalled driving them to the depot and helping them aboard a New York-bound train. We shifted our base of operations to New York City.
Papa always warned us against consorting with strangers in a big northern city, but of course he didn't know you, Mr. Carson.
Miss Birdie.
Yes?
About that man who offered you the money for your land.
Walter Hopkins.
Yes. What do you know about him?
Well, only that he seems a proper businessman.
Our looks are deceiving, you know, ladies.
That's what Papa always says.
And he said he was only interested in buying the swamp land.
Just the bayou section of our state.
$10,000 for that useless swamp land. It seemed more than generous.
Oh, too generous, I'd say offhand.
Mr. Carson, whatever do you mean?
I mean, Miss Birdie, I smell a rat.
What?
I mean, it's a mighty strange thing to offer so much for worthless swampland, unless it's not as worthless as it apparently appears.
I declare.
Ladies.
Yes?
With your permission, I'd like to have a talk with this, Mr. Hopkins. There's just the possibility that someone is trying to pull a fast one here.
Immediately upon our arrival in New York, Agent Reynolds and I began a checkout of all stores in the area dealing in the expensive imported china. We felt that this would be the shortest route between us and the Jessup sisters.
Just keep in mind that Clarice and Bertie Jessup are close personal friends of mine. That's why I'm here, Mr. Hopkins.
Well, I don't recall their mentioning you, Carson.
Well, if you have any doubts, why don't you phone them? They'll tell you I'm acting in their behalf.
Look here, just what do you want?
The question is, Mr. Hopkins, what do you want?
Well, I believe I made my purpose clear to Miss Bertie and Miss Clarice.
I'm not at all sure it is clear.
No? What could be clearer than a bona fide offer of $10,000 for that swampland?
That's the point.
What?
Your bid for that bayou terrain is way out of line.
Oh, now, don't tell me it's worth more.
On the contrary, far less.
What?
Frankly, Mr. Hopkins, your offer is very suspicious.
Now, you watch what you say, Carson. I'm a reputable businessman.
Don't try to outbluff me, Mr. Hopkins. I happen to know some of the ins and outs of business. I'm not a babe in the woods. I'm not the Jessup sisters.
Now, see here. I'm not wasting any more of my time talking to you. I'm dealing directly with the Jessup sisters and not with you.
You'll deal through me or you won't deal at all.
Is that right?
It most certainly is.
Well, I'll see about that.
You're welcome to try. Good day.
Mr. Carson, wait a minute. Wait.
Yes?
Now, look, there's no reason we can't talk this over like sane gentlemen, is there?
Well...
So what do you say we start patching our fences with a little drink first?
Oh, I prefer a drink after a deal is consummated, not before.
Oh. Then straight to business, eh?
And the facts, straight.
You mean why I made such a generous offer for that worthless swampland?
Why?
Straight. Last week, oil was discovered on the adjoining property.
Oil? So that's it?
That's it, definitely.
A very good reason for your generous offer to the Jessup sisters.
And now, Mr. Carson, I'm going to make a very generous offer to you.
Our checkout on the chinaware stores brought quick and ripe fruit. The proprietor of a Midtown Fifth Avenue shop had some of the information we were seeking.
Yes, sir. I serve Miss Jessup personally. Would you mind telling me why the FBI is interested in her?
Well, it's a long story and a long series of swindles perpetrated by her and her sister.
Her? A swindler? Well, I'd never dream.
Nor would most people.
Such a delicate appreciation of Wilshire China.
And a fast buck.
She was in here last...
A week ago Friday, she purchased a Wilshire teapot.
You delivered it where?
We didn't. She took it along with her.
Oh.
But I expect her to return.
Oh?
Yes, she was interested in buying a sugar and creamer set. We were out of stock. I told her we expected a shipment in this week, and I'd put a set aside for her.
And she said she'll be in to pick it up?
She said she'd be in tomorrow afternoon, definitely. I suppose you gentlemen will want to be on hand, too?
We'll be here, definitely.
And ladies, that's the full and complete story. There is oil on your property, and he offered me a percentage if I could convince you to sell.
Well, I declare.
So now you know the reason Hopkins' offer was so generous.
What a vile man. What a simply vile person. Thank heavens there are men such as you still in the world, Mr. Carson.
As Papa said, girls never fret when dealing with a basically honest man. He'll always reward you in the end by showing his true colors.
And down through the years, we've always profited by this advice of Papa's and have always been rewarded.
And now we want to reward you, Mr. Carson.
But I did nothing but tell you the truth.
Oh, I'm sure that Clarice is as willing as I am to turn that bayou land over to you.
What?
Yes, Bertie, I declare I am as willing as you.
But that land, that oil, it'll be worth a fortune.
Our needs are simple. Your life is just beginning.
No, I couldn't think of it.
We want you to have it.
Oh, I couldn't accept. I just couldn't.
We insist.
No.
Bertie, dear, I think we are embarrassing Mr. Carson. Perhaps he would feel easier if we let him pay for the land.
But I...
What it was worth when we had it assessed after Papa passed on.
You mean that $2,000 assessment?
Yes. I'm sure that would make things more comfortable for you, Mr. Carson.
$2,000? That's ridiculous. Why, Hopkins offered you 10, and it's worth 100 times that. Why, I wouldn't think of offering you less if I did offer anything.
All right, Mr. Carson, then. If you insist, we'll accept $10,000. Now, you just give us the money, and we'll consider the matter closed.
$10,000 in cash.
Oh, I declare, Clarice, isn't green a lovely, warm color?
Oh, if Papa were only here to enjoy this moment with us.
It's all right, Clarice. I know he's up there looking down on his girls and smiling. You better start packing.
But the sugar and cream I ordered. I promised that gentleman I'd be in this afternoon to pick them up. It'll only take a few minutes, Bertie.
Agent Reynolds and I staked out near the Fifth Avenue Chinaware shop and waited.
Here she comes, Steve.
Clarice Jessup showed up as expected. It would have been simple enough to make an arrest on the spot, but we wanted both sisters in tow. Agent Reynolds waited outside while I entered the shop to set up our own operation.
It isn't always a businessman interested in fine china. You are a businessman, aren't you, Mr. Stephen?
Well, yes, in a sense. I deal mostly with the government.
Federal?
Solely.
Sort of contract work, I take it.
Sort of.
Big contracts?
Well...
You big businessmen are much too modest.
It isn't that. It's just that we have to be careful not to let anything out prematurely. So much is involved at times.
Oh, I've always been fascinated to know just what goes on behind closed doors and deals like yours, Mr. Stevens.
Oh, I could tell a few stories.
My sister Betty and I'd be just thrilled to hear them. There's so little excitement in our humdrum lives.
Oh, now, you're being modest, I'm sure.
Mr. Stevens.
Yes?
If you could spare the time to take tea with Bertie and me tomorrow afternoon, we'd consider it both an honor and a pleasure.
You just tell me where you live. And believe me, Miss Jessup, the pleasure will be all mine.
Mm-hmm.
no, Clarice, definitely not.
But Bertie...
I've already made our reservations on a morning train.
But he's in government contract.
Clarice, I'm surprised at you. Don't you remember what Papa said? Girls, after you consummate a deal, never let the moss grow under your feet. In other words, get out, and get out fast. Now, you wouldn't want Papa to stop smiling down on us, would you, dear?
No, Bertie.
That must be the bellhop. I asked them to send our baggage up from the storage room.
I'll go, dear.
Miss Jessup.
Why?
I guess this comes as sort of a surprise, eh?
What is it, Clarice?
Bertie, this is Mr. Stevens, the gentleman I was telling you so much about.
How do you do? I've brought a friend along. This is Mr. Reynolds. He's sort of a business partner.
Ladies?
Mr. Reynolds was anxious to join in.
But you weren't expected until tomorrow.
Sorry, we couldn't wait.
As a matter of fact, we waited much too long already.
Clarice.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
The police.
FBI.
I declare.
So that's what you meant by federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Deceiving my sister that way, sir. You are no gentleman.
I'm sorry, Bertie. If it hadn't been for that china creamer and sugar set.
Now, don't you fret, dear.
Do you really forgive me?
Of course.
All right, ladies. Let's go.
Mr. Stevens, please. Just one thing.
What's that?
Would you permit us a moment to dress ourselves properly for the occasion? There's some very fine Madeira lace, and we wouldn't feel suitably dressed unless we wore it. Would we, Bertie, dear?
The Jessup sisters made a full and complete confession. Their accomplice, Walter Hopkins, was apprehended shortly thereafter. All three were brought to trial and threw themselves on the mercy of the court. Because of their advanced age, Clarice and Bertie Jessup received reduced sentences of 5 years each. They are now serving those sentences in a federal women's penitentiary, where their simple dress makes them anything but ladies in lace.
Alice Frost played the part of Clarice Jessup. Agnes Young was Bertie Jessup. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Ed Adamson. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
The FBI in Peace and War has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.